Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 162 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Dr. Becky O'Brien of Film Music Central. Welcome back to the show, Becky.
Hello again. It's good to be back.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun yesterday. Let's keep it going.
Absolutely.
Minute 162 begins with Roger smirking in agreement and goes all the way till we see the POWs beginning to stretch their legs. As we were discussing yesterday, the truck filled with a certain number of POWs, we're not sure yet how many are actually in there, are continuing on their journey to somewhere. Again, we don't know where their journey is to. We will hopefully find out this week where they're going. Or maybe not. Hopefully for their sake, we won't find out. We start off with Roger answering Mac. Mac said yesterday he was basically assuring Roger that all of the POWs that escaped knew what they were doing, and everyone knew the risk of trying to escape and possibly getting caught. So he doesn't need to worry about the fact that it's possible that a number of them won't make it back home alive. So in the beginning of this minute, Roger agrees with him. He gives like a nice little smirk along the way when he does that, laughing to himself, which is a nice touch.
And there's an interesting little music moment. It actually started at the tail end of the last minute and goes into this one. Mm-hmm. If you get some, you remember when they would show night scenes of the camp and you'd hear that tense music?
Yes.
It's back.
Yes, I know. I have that as my note right after he says yes, that the music turns ominous.
But it's the same type of ominous. Yes. So. And I thought that was an interesting musical callback for Bernstein to do.
Is that why you assume that this is nighttime? We discussed yesterday that we weren't sure if this is dusk or dawn. So is that why? Is it supposed to give us that impression?
Possibly. I mean, that might be something only the composer would think of. I know they don't always. I mean, we're not. Technically speaking, an audience isn't supposed to notice the music like this. I only do because I study it. But it's entirely possible we're meant to make the association between the two. It could, but it's very quick. That's why I was always under the impression this was late evening going into sunset.
Okay. But, I mean, when they get out of the truck later this minute, we'll see if we can try and ascertain which it is.
It's just hard to tell because it almost looks like they're shooting day for night.
With
the way it looks. So whenever they do that in those movies, it's hard for me to tell what time it's supposed to be. Except for the fact it's not day.
Right. And it's not middle of the day. It's either dusk or dawn. The question is, which is it?
But the other reason I mentioned that it's the same music, it was not just set at night. It was also when something sneaky was happening. Before it was when the prisoners were doing something behind the guards' backs, but now maybe it's meant to be reversed and the Germans are doing something and the prisoners don't know what it is just yet.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool. I didn't think about it from that perspective. So then we get an outside shot of the trucks again. We discussed yesterday the fact that there's a staff car, truck, motorcycle, truck, motorcycle, truck, motorcycle. So the staff car continues straight along with the first truck and the first motorcycle, and then we have the second truck and the second motorcycle turn off to the right, and then the third of both of them turn off to the left. I always assumed at this point that the first one is the one that's actually going back to the prison camp. But I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. I noticed this time because we'll see that staff car a little bit later. Yeah. But I always assumed that was continuing along the road. The other two were just moving to the side because they were going somewhere else. Now, did you notice anything strange about this little crossroad?
Besides the fact that the crossroads are uneven?
Okay, the crossroads being uneven happens. Doesn't need to be perfect, but you're right. No, it is uneven. That wasn't what I was referring to, but is there something else you see? Because like I said, this is one of the great things about doing a movie minute by minute, because you can look and see little things that you're never going to notice otherwise.
I see power lines.
Okay. That is not what I'm referring to. What else do you see?
Trees.
Okay. What do you see on the left-hand side? It's our right, but their left-hand side. right at the crossroads.
I see a thing, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, it's there's a rock structure with a plaque and a cross above it.
Yeah, I see it, but I don't know what it is. I'm assuming you do.
Right. So to me, it's either a marking that this is near a cemetery, or this is where someone was buried. I mean, it looks to me like some sort of burial recognition. Let's put it that way. Again, I could be wrong, but I'm saying this is what it looks like. And to me, that looks like it's foreshadowing something here.
But I mean, you're right, though. Up until this very minute, I'd never noticed it before. But yeah, that's, assuming that's what it is, that's a clever bit of foreshadowing there. Yes. Aside from the more obvious one of they're splitting up.
No, but we don't know that they're splitting up. They're taking these to this camp and those to that camp. And, you know, it could be anything. They never mention the fact that they're all being taken to the same place.
Which I'm not, you're not wrong, but there's also the fact that ominous music is back again.
Yes.
Which casts the whole moment of splitting up in a very sinister light.
Yes, completely.
And especially since, I swear, this time when it repeats itself as they split, I swear Bernstein leans on the organ a little bit as if to emphasize this is really bad. Same way he did in the last minute, but just leaning on it a little, like, no, really, something really bad is going to happen.
Yeah, that is definitely. But I again, I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but whether it is or isn't, it's great foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. Just having that marker right there.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look like it could be anything else but a marker dealing with death.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a marker saying that there's a church up ahead. You know, I don't think so.
Yeah, I never noticed that before, but that's a very clever touch.
I never noticed it before either. That's why we're doing this minute by minute, so that we can take a look at these things. And then we get back inside the truck, and we see Roger still smiling to himself, and Mac begins to smile, which I like the fact that in a cruel way, they make them all optimistic at this point.
Well, you know? At this point, what else can they do? You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's one of those, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
No, but they think that they're on their way back to, you know, Stella Luft 3.
Or at least back to a camp. I'm sure the thoughts cross their minds that after what happened, they're sure to be taken someplace else now, or that they'd be crazy to put them back in the exact same place they just broke out of.
Well, again, that brings us back to the whole idea that in the first place, crazy to put them all in the same place and not do more due diligence to make sure that they weren't going to be able to escape. I mean, I discussed this months ago with somebody, the fact that, you know, why leave so much wood around? They know that that's what people use for tunneling.
Sure.
You know, make everything out of complete concrete where there's nothing to use. You know, they could have been a little smarter with what they were doing. And, you know, if this was just the movie, then you'd say, okay, the screenwriter decided to put that in there in order to be clever and stuff like that. But the fact that it's based on reality, that these are things that the real prisoners used in order to escape, that says a lot about it also. You know, they're smiling along, and then they start to notice that the truck is slowing down a bit, which surprises them more than a little bit. You see them all looking around, trying to figure out why things are, you know, coming to a stop. And then we get to see the staff car, as I said, you know, that's the one that goes straight. And then we have the truck stop right next to it. Did they have brake lights back then?
You know, I don't know.
Because the staff car doesn't have one.
Considering the staff car looks pretty accurate to the period, it's possible they didn't. I don't know if that was I don't know when those were invented, but it's entirely possible they weren't a thing yet in the 1940s.
Yeah. To me, it seems to be a little inaccurate. Well,
so are you saying the truck does or does not?
The truck has.
Oh, the truck has, but the staff car has not.
Yes.
Sorry, I misheard you before. Well, I could see that being a possible anachronism. I'm like curious now. I want to like look it up. Well, once I think of something like that, it's stuck in my brain.
Okay, there's a reason for that. Okay, in 1928, 11 states in the U.S. had made brake lights a requirement on cars.
Germany.
The first brake lights appeared as early as 1905.
So,
they had them. Whether they had them on, you know, it wasn't apparently a requirement, but
whether they had them consistently is in question.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, it could be. Maybe yes, maybe no. The German officers get out of the staff car, and the other soldiers get off of the motorcycle. They come out of the truck, and they go to open the flaps on the truck. Do a nice job of that. And at this point, the prisoners are even more concerned because they have absolutely no idea what they're doing here.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yes, and thankfully, you know, Roger goes back to his German that he knows. Again, I'm not going to make everyone suffer through my mispronunciation of German. So basically what he says in German is, what's going on? Where are we?
I can take a stab at it if you want. I mean, the first part was his loss.
Yes.
I can't pronounce the second part. It's not that good.
Wo sind wir? Or something like that.
I never knew what the second part was. I knew the first part was, what is this?
Right, and the second part is, where are we? And then the officer decides to be nice and actually speak to us in English. And, you know, we don't have to try and translate. And he says, all right, you can get out now, stretch your legs out for 5 minutes. It'll take hours before you reach the camp. Again, giving so much false hope.
Well,
you know, the Germans were great at this. You know, you see that in all the Holocaust movies. Just go take a shower.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, even from like the first times I saw this part, it always turned on every alarm bell in my head. Like the bad guys are doing something nice. Danger, danger.
Danger, Will Robinson.
I mean, even if they know that, there's nothing they can do about it. But it's like, it screams a setup.
Correct. It screams a setup, but there is a plausibility in it, because if they really are on their way to the camp, and let's say it's a 4-hour drive to the camp, I don't know how far it is from because we don't know where they are. So to say, okay, let's pull over for a second to let people stretch. There is some logic.
I mean, there is, except for the fact that this is Nazi Germany, and the Nazis weren't exactly known as the most caring typed prisoners.
Correct.
I mean, sure, if we're talking about regular people, sure, it makes sense to get out and stretch your legs if it's going to be a long trip, but these are prisoners and these are Nazis. They're not known for doing nice things because it makes logical sense.
Right. Okay, that's true. That's a very good point. But also, if you look at the way that the Nazis are portrayed in this movie, they're mostly portrayed as being nice.
Well, at least the Luftwaffe ones are.
You know. Exactly. No, the SS one, the SS and the Gestapo, they talk big. But up until now, they really haven't done much beyond that. You know, they've just been talking.
I wasn't paying attention before. Which branch has got the prisoners right now in the truck? Is it Wehrmacht, Luftwaffe, Gestapo, SS? Do we know? Is it a...
It's the Gestapo, because we know that the Priesen is part of the Gestapo.
But the officers of the trucks, they're Gestapo too, or
that I don't know. Maybe they could be SS. They're not Luftwaffe, that's for sure. Right? They're probably SS. And all the prisoners basically just look at them very strangely, that they're offering them to do this. You can see that they're a little hesitant, but they say, what the hell? If they're giving us the opportunity.
Also, they have guns to force the issue, too.
Yeah, but they don't pick up the guns. They're just saying, okay, get out and start walking around.
Yeah, but you know, if they had refused to get out, if let's say they had sensed what was about to happen, if they'd refused to get out, they would have forced the issue.
Yeah, exactly, because no one wants to have to clean the trucks. To wash them down. Much easier to, cleaner to do it on the outside. Basically, Roger and Mac are the first ones to agree. Once they get out, everyone else starts to get out with them. And then we see them start to walk around. You know, they jump down. You see them stretching. It's actually pretty funny watching them stretch, because they look like they're strutting as they're stretching. you know, Mac like bends down a little bit, waves his arms. You know, he's doing the chicken or whatever you want to call it. That's basically where this minute ends. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this minute, Becky?
I mean, if it wasn't obvious what's about to happen, the fact that they're walking across a wide open field should be a pretty big clue. I mean, because like just at the end of the minute, it starts to briefly pan a bit, and you see it's a clean, wide open space and perfect for what's about to go down.
Yeah, but don't tell anyone. They'll have to come back tomorrow to listen to what happens.
Talking about it for two episodes, it should be obvious by now.
Well, maybe not to everybody. Who knows? The final second of this minute is what makes me believe that it's dawn.
Okay.
So, because if you look, it looks as if the light is rising up as opposed to going down. Again, I could be wrong. This is guesstimation.
I'm checking. I definitely noticed the light. I was. I can't. Yeah. The way it's shot, it's so hard to tell what if it's going up or down, because I mean we don't know what direction this is, so either really it could be interpreted either way depending on how you want to read the scene.
Right. Okay.
Right. But I can see why that looks like dawn too.
Yeah. All right. So you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No.
All right. You want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Of course. You want to find me on my blog. Film Music Central can be found at www.filmmusiccentral.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at MusicGamer460.
All right. Excellent. You can go to our Facebook group, The Cooler. Our Twitter account is GreatEscapeMXM. Our website is TheGreatEscapeMinute.com. And our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. So, until tomorrow, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!